and pray and agree this morning that we're going to hear words from heaven today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This will be the best Labor Day weekend you ever had. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you so much today that you've shared some things with my heart this week. Help me today, Father, to bring it forth in a manner that would be so easy to understand, in a way that's simplified, yet in a powerful way, Father. And I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take that word today and make it real, make it alive, in the name of Jesus. And all that agreed said, amen, amen and amen. We began a couple of weeks ago talking. The name of the series is called Life Lessons. And I'm really excited about this because over the last 30 plus years that we've been in active ministry, Lynn and I, you know, in many different hats through those years, primarily pastoral, there's a lot of things that you learn in those years. Amen. And as I said last week, you know, we haven't learned everything there is to learn, but we're continuing to learn. We're always going to be learning. We saw last week that the Apostle Paul said, I haven't yet arrived yet. I mean, the great Apostle Paul that wrote 3/4 of the New Testament says, I haven't arrived yet. Amen. Now, if somebody said they have arrived, put a big X across their face because that's pride right there. Amen. None of us have arrived yet, but we're continuing to learn. We're continuing to grow. And I just kind of had it on my heart. I was praying about this, like I said, about a month ago. And I wanted to share some things, some practical. Some of it will be spiritual principles. Some of it will be practical things. But the whole idea behind this, we're going to take a subject each week for however the Lord wants us to do. Each Sunday, we're going to talk about practical things and cover a different topic each week, all right, that will help you and bless you. Amen. Well, the first session, we talked about dealing with the past properly. That's what we talked about. We also talked last week about having a positive expectation for the future. How many of you know that's important? I got to thinking about this. Why do we go to church? We go to church to grow and we go to learn, right? And also to be challenged. And how many of you know that when we go to church, we should be challenged? Amen? And it's very important that the Word, because the Word of God will always, it challenges me. Every time I open the Bible, every time I hear a message, it challenges me. Amen? But it's a good thing because that's what stretches you. Amen? I remember when I was a kid, I don't know, they probably still have them. Remember those little Gumby things? That green looking, you remember that? Well, we got one for our son when he was just a youngster. You know, I was probably, a year old, something like that. We went to the largest McDonald's in America, I think it was. It was on the Oklahoma Turnpike, you know. And they had these Gumbies, and that thing was about this big instead of that big, you know. But the idea behind that is you take that thing and stretch it and stretch it and pull your arm, the legs way out here, and then you'd let it go and it would snap back. Remember that? You couldn't break that thing. It was a Gumby. Now, sometimes in the spirit realm, we feel that way. We feel like God is stretching us, challenging us. There's maybe a lot of things we don't know, but that's okay. Thank God for what we do know. But the Lord will help us. The Lord will strengthen us. Now, to have a positive expectation about the future is a vitally, vitally important thing. That's what we talked about last week. And again, you can go on our website, download it for free, or you can pick up a CD and listen to it because I think it's really, really, really important that we learn how to have a positive expectation about our future. And that's why the first session we dealt about dealing with our past properly, because a lot of times people are hung up. And I know just from pastoral counseling through the years that a lot of people's problems is they just can't seem to deal with their past mistakes, things that happen, you know, and hurdles that they tried to get over and they couldn't get over. Well, how many of you know, I mean, you get some ammunition, you get some knowledge, man, you can overcome some stuff. Mm-hmm. Amen? See, it's not a problem issue, it's a knowledge issue. What's that? Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, God says, my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Amen? And he says, because they rejected knowledge, the Lord rejected them. So we can't reject the knowledge of God's Word because that's insight. See, there's a lot of things in the Word of God you may not understand. Okay? But I'm telling you, if you have a heart that cries out, says, Lord, give me wisdom about this subject, God will give you wisdom. Amen? Praise God. So today, let's go to Luke chapter 4, and we're going to pick up the next topic here today. In Luke chapter 4, I'm really excited about this one. The scripture tells us here that Jesus taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all, in verse 15. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, talking about Jesus. And his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus had a custom. What was that? In other words, he had a habit. What was that habit? If it was the Sabbath day, where was he? In church. He was in the synagogue. Amen? How many of you know there's good things, good habits to have? Amen? If you wanted to find Jesus on the Sabbath day, he wasn't down at the football game. Amen? Brother, are you teaching against football? No. No. 1,000 times no. Amen? But where is Jesus on the Sabbath day? He was in the synagogue, right? Just a little side thought. Won't charge you extra for that. And it says he stood up to read. In verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Esaias, which is Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, this was not a book like you and I have. This was a scroll. So it took a little longer to find what he was trying to find here, okay? But it says that he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. And it says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, what's the word gospel mean? Does anybody know? Good news, right? What's good news to the poor? You don't have to stay poor anymore. Amen? Like we used to say, they don't have to say po no more. There used to be a restaurant. Yeah, I don't know if you remember this, called Po Folks. Well, they lived up to their name. They went belly up. They filed chapter 11. They don't exist anymore. Amen? Well, we don't eat at Po Folks. You know, I'm just playing with you, right? We eat down at the rich place, amen, because we're all rich in Jesus Christ, amen? Boy, if you knew what the inheritance that you and I have in Christ Jesus, man, you'd never see yourself as poor anymore. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a child of the King, amen? So don't look at your bank account and say, I sure don't feel like it. It doesn't look like you are a child of the Most High God. You have citizenship from heaven, amen? The Bible says you're a king and you're a priest unto God. That's how God views you. In fact, that's what I'm going to talk about today. This is something that helped me so much through the years, and even to this day, is to see yourself as God sees you. Oh, that's so important. It's so important. I'll say it again. It's so vitally important that you see yourself the way God sees you. If you see yourself, well, I don't want to get too far ahead of here. Let's move back to the scripture here. It says, he has sent me to heal the broken, verse 18. He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, to sent me to heal the brokenhearted. See, the Lord will heal your body, but also heal your emotions too. And he will do that. And he's interested in doing that. Because if you're wounded emotionally, the Lord wants to help you. I mean, if you're sad all the time, that's not God's best. And you get weepy all the time, that's not God's best. And sometimes you can get around people that are weepy all the time. You know, they can even be sanctified, born again, and all they do is cry, just crying about everything, you know. But listen, there's a right time to cry and there's a wrong time to cry. Right? Are you with me now? Amen. Don't let the devil make you cry. Amen? You start feeling depressed and sad because of him, and you wipe that tear off, you shake yourself, you say, I'm not yielding to that in the name of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. And you go to a funeral and some believer left and they're in the casket there. Let me tell you something, they ain't there. They ain't there. I know it's bad English, but they're not there. That's just an empty carcass, a shell that's there. They're in heaven. The scripture tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? And the scripture tells us plainly that we're not to sorrow like those that have no hope. Okay? I've seen people just weep, like there's no, like they're gone, like a dead, like a dog. There's no future. That's not true. Amen. Paul went on to say in Philippians, he said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is to gain." So, how many of you have some relatives that are believers? They're in heaven now. Well, they've been promoted. And I'm telling you what, my earthly father, you know, he had some hardships on this earth, but you know what? He's in heaven. He's in heaven. Now, I had the most unusual experience happen to me right after my father moved to heaven. And I praise God. You know, he attended our church for the last, 15, 20 years. He attended our church and got founded in the Word of God. My mother as well, you know. But when my father moved to heaven, I knew exactly where he was going. Amen. Someone says, "I'm so sorry for your loss." I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose my dad. Some of you knew my dad, right? I didn't lose him. I know exactly where he's at. God knows where he's at. He knows where he's at. He's in heaven. Okay? He just beat us there. Okay? But eventually we're going to be united together. Now, I'm not going to build a doctrine on this or anything like this, but I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here right now, the Lord spoke to my heart because I was, you know, I never had, you know, done a funeral for my own mother or my father. My mother's still alive, but that's the first time for me. I've done other funerals, many other funerals for people through the years. And as a result, saw a lot of people that went to those funerals receive Christ. Patty, you remember some of your brothers and stuff and Pegs, you know. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel. Well, and like I said, I'm not building a doctrine on this, but the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I'm telling you, I was preparing for, you know, how do you prepare for your dad's funeral service? You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I had a gamut of emotions dealing with this, and I'm in my office downstairs in my basement, you know, and I'm praying over this thing, and the Lord spoke to my heart, not with these ears here, but inside here where you hear him too. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Son, your dad has a message for you, and here is that message." Now, we're not to communicate with the dead. We don't do that. But see, my father is in heaven with Jesus, and Jesus is with my father, and we communicate with God. We communicate with Jesus. And the Lord spoke to my heart. I'm telling you, I no more expected this than I expected to be the next astronaut on Neptune. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord said, "Your dad has a message for you, and here is that message." And I felt it. I'm telling you, I felt it like, And he said this. He goes, "Keith, give him heaven at my funeral. Give him heaven at my funeral." And I sensed this urgency, but a joy. You know, I didn't hear his voice or anything, but the Lord gave me that. He gave that to my heart. He says, "Preach him heaven at my service." Amen. And oh, I'm telling you what, we had the next day, I think it was, we went there, and there was hundreds of people there. You know, a lot of friends, neighbors, relatives, coworkers. I mean, people I hadn't seen in so many years. I mean, it was just amazing. I felt the presence of God in that service almost more than any service I think I've ever been in, even including in church. I'm telling you, the presence of God was so strong there. And I got up there, and I just shared from my heart. I shared a few scriptures, but I shared what my dad meant to me and the lessons that I've learned from him, just some basic things, just a tribute to his life, you know, during that service. How many were in that service? Okay. And I'm telling you, heaven just showed up. The presence of God was as thick as a cloud, just moved into that place, and I began to share about my dad's relationship with Jesus and how he made Jesus the Lord of his life, and just shared some real practical things along that line. And I had the opportunity at the end of that service to have people raise their hands and pray with every person in that room that didn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I hit it like this. I said, you know, it's like this. Everybody knows who the president is regardless of your political persuasion. right? Whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, Black Party, Green Party, Purple Party, what, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knows who the president is, but how many people know him personally? Well, everybody knows about God, right? Everybody's heard of God in this room, but I said, how many of you know him personally? And I gave them, I said, here's an invitation for you to know Jesus Christ on a personal level today. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Someone said, well, that's narrow-minded. Well, Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. See, Muhammad's not the way. Buddha's not the way. Confucius is not the way. All these other gurus, they're dead in a hole in the ground. They're still there. But you go to the tomb of Jesus and it's empty. Amen. He only needed it for 3 days. It's a borrowed tomb. And you can go to that tomb today over there in Israel. You can look it up online. It's there. You can walk in there and there's nothing there but just stone. You can see where they laid him. Amen. But he is a risen Christ. And as a result, many people that day made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. Amen. And I felt like the will of God was accomplished that day in that place. It was a marvelous thing. Marvelous thing. It's a joy. It's such a joy to see people get saved. Amen. That's why you shouldn't hesitate to bring people to church. Amen. Well, Pastor, they may not understand this. They may not understand that. Let me tell you something. When they get in the presence of God, they're going to know something's different. Mm-hmm. Amen? And I'm telling you what, the greatest miracle that there is eternal life. Mm-hmm. Eternal life. Receiving Jesus as the Lord of their life. Many people know about God. They have had religion up to their ears. They were raised in church. Maybe they were water baptized. But they don't know Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they can. Yeah, are you with me now? So let's go back to Luke here, chapter 4. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and preach deliverance to the captives, to recover sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of God's favor. Okay, so I wanted to share this with you. Jesus opened to Isaiah chapter number 61 verses 1 and 2. I'm just going to refer to that because of time. We won't turn there. Jesus found the place in Isaiah chapter 61, and he began to declare, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to do this, to do that. Preach deliverance to the captive, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then look at verse 20. And all of a sudden, something begins to take place here. Now, get the picture. Jesus is in a synagogue. He's in a Jewish synagogue. He's got the scrolls wide open. Okay? In verse 20, that's Luke 4:20, says, he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of them that were in his synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say to them, today, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day. This scripture that Isaiah was talking about is now fulfilled in your ears. Now, is this good news or bad news? It's what? It's good news. Now, how would you like to be a charter member of that group right there that never heard this before? Think about that. Here's people in a synagogue. I don't know how many people were there. Let's say there's 100 people there. They're not very big synagogues, you know. And it's not a mega synagogue. It's just a regular synagogue. Okay? And there's some that still exist from back in those days. They're not that big. Not much bigger than this room. Jesus says, he's reading out of Isaiah, but he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now, that's good news, isn't it? Wouldn't it be normal in the sense that if you believed what he said, you would be like, my God, Ethel, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear what he just said? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. But you know what? It had the opposite effect. Because look at the same chapter, look at verse 28. Okay? Sometimes people can interpret the good news as bad news. That's not wise. That's not smart, amen? Look at verse 28. It says, and all that were in the synagogue when they heard these things, what things? that what they just heard. They were filled with what? Rage, wrath, anger. And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereupon the city was built. And by the way, that still exists today. That they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through their midst, went his way. So Jesus said, no man can take my life. He says, no man can take it from me. He goes, I lay it down. That's why they couldn't take his life. He just, where'd he go? He just went through their midst. They couldn't touch him. This wasn't his time yet. All right. But I want you to see the response of the people was that of the exact opposite of what it was supposed to be. This was good news. I've come to preach the deliverance to the captives and set at liberty them that are bruised to bring healing and deliverance, so on and so forth. Now, the anointing is here to do this today. And the Bible says that he closed the book and he went and he sat down in the seat. Now, here's what I want to bring out about this. Every synagogue in Bible times, in Jesus' time, had a particular seat, okay? Now, my dad used to have a chair, and you weren't supposed to sit in it. You know, like Archie Bunker. Get out of that seat, meathead. Remember that? Well, there was a seat in every synagogue that was reserved specifically for the coming Messiah. And guess who sat down there? Jesus. And they were beside themselves, not in a happy way. They were like, who does he think he is? Huh? Yeah. And why are they so mad? He's quoting Isaiah. Everything's good up to that point. But he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. So let me say it to you like this. He's actually saying, the guy that Isaiah wrote about, you know, 500 years before this, he says, he's here today. I'm the one. In other words, Jesus found himself in the scriptures. Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Messiah. And when Jesus read that, he said, the Spirit of God said, that's you. And so sometimes when you identify with what God says about you, other folks may not agree with it. When you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, we're going to see that today according to the scripture. There are religious people that get ticked off of you. They're going to say, who in the world does he think he is? Man, he's got an ego so big he can't even fit through the door, you know? But see, there's a difference between ego and there's a difference between saying what God already says about you. If God says something about you, you can take it to the bank. That's exactly the way it is. That's the way it is. So can you all see from this scripture right here that they were not very happy? I mean, they were going to throw him over the cliff. This is Jesus' first sermon. I'm so glad when I preached my first sermon that I didn't have a crowd like that. Now, we've had some knuckleheads through the years that get upset about that, but never like this. Never like this. I had a lady one time come up to me. She goes, that tie is ugly that you have. I looked at her and go, yeah, you're right, it is. Last time I wore that thing, you know. I refuse to get offended by stuff like that, you know. Some people don't like your hairstyle. They don't like your shirt or what. It doesn't matter. That's all natural stuff. As a matter of fact, you know, in the New Testament, there's nothing said about Jesus' looks. There's nothing in the four Gospels. There's nothing. It didn't say that Jesus was tall, dark, and handsome. And his teeth were perfect. It says nothing about his physical appearance. Why? Because that's not what's important. Now, it does say they were amazed at his gracious words that came out of his mouth. Okay? And that's why sometimes you can't be thrown by people's physical appearance. Amen? Because I'm telling you, God can speak through anybody. He spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament. Dear God, that gives me hope. Amen? Spoke through a donkey. The Bible, King James says, the dumbass spake. That's what it says. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, we need some more dumbasses speaking. I'm quoting somebody else now. I'm not saying, I didn't say this. I just lost some of you right there. Amen. Okay. Now the Bible, this is what the King James says. The God spoke through the donkey to give him direction. Okay. Well, I'm telling you, we got the Holy Ghost. I'd rather hear from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Than through some. If I'm that stubborn that God has to use an animal to speak to me, dear God. You know? Even the donkey spoke up and said, why beatest thou me? That's what the donkey said. What are you beating me for? He was so enraged that he didn't even think about it. Now, he didn't really think about it. He was so enraged that he didn't even think about it. Why beatest thou me? He should have stepped back and said, did that donkey just talk to me or what? But he was so full of anger, he didn't even think about it. You can get so full of rage that something like that happens, you're like, don't even think twice about it. Anyway. So, Isaiah, he's quoting Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is quoting this. And here's what I want to bring out today. Jesus found himself in the Scripture. He looked at it and he said, there it is. That's me right there. So today, here's what I want to talk about. Seeing yourself as God sees you. I wrote down here, this is extremely important, how God sees you. Now, it's not that important what others, how they see you. Amen. Okay? As it is important about how God sees you. As a matter of fact, you know, Jesus, you know, he's the Son of God, right? And Jesus is in his hometown. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, it says, I'm just quoting here, it says that Jesus could there in his own hometown do nothing miraculous because of their unbelief. Isn't that interesting? Now, if Jesus' miracle ministry was totally in his control, don't you think he would want to put on a show in his hometown? But the Scripture tells us that in Philippians that Jesus emptied himself, and Jesus even said many occasions in the New Testament, he says, I can do of my own self nothing. He says, I only do what I hear the Father say. Jesus couldn't just press a button and make things happen, you know. But there were towns where he would go, and the people were just, they would draw on him. They came out of every corridor to hear him and hear his words and hear what he's saying. They were hungry. They were open. When he came to his own hometown, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town. So in other words, they said, this is Mary's son. This is Joseph's son. He's the carpenter's son. That's what they said. In other words, they only saw him after the natural. That's what they saw him. And it has severely limited the power of God from operating in that particular area. In his own hometown, he could do there no mighty work. Only a few people with minor ailments, the Bible says. That's like hangnails. You know what I'm saying? Common cold. There's still a little bit of healing power there. But he would go to the very next town and preach the same thing. Same thing. He would preach this sermon everywhere he went. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He started it there in that synagogue. But you know what? He preached that everywhere he went. Everywhere. The Lord told Brother Hagin when he appeared to him, he says, I preached that sermon everywhere I went. And if the people received it and they believed it, then the power of God was manifested for them to receive. And that's sure enough what happened. However, in his hometown, that didn't take place. Okay? So how we approach Jesus and how we approach him and even coming to services like that, if we're coming with an expectant heart and believing we're receiving today, that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, amen. 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 I don't know why it is sometimes, but I've known, you know, just from praying for sick people through the years, for some people, it's like laying your hand on this pulpit and it's nothing. There's no sparks flying. There's nothing happening at all. But all of a sudden, someone comes up and you touch them and it's like, whoa, what was that? Something supernatural comes out. Amen? And that's why sometimes, listen to me carefully, why do people fall under the power? Do you ever wonder that? No one here ever wondered that. Why do people, you prayed for them. It was so funny. I had one guy said recently, said, did you see that lady? She fainted. And they didn't do anything about it. They didn't call 911. Okay? Now, just in a quick synopsis about this falling under the power. Is it scriptural? Is it in the New Testament? Is it in the Bible? Yes, it is. Okay? When the Apostle Paul came in contact with Jesus of Nazareth, the Bible says on the road to Damascus, the power of God hit him. He fell off his horse and fell backwards. In fact, all the people that were with him. Okay? Because when the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something has to give. Okay? Now, I've had it happen to me a few times, and I always had questions like, you know, do you lose consciousness when this happens? Is it like you're blacked out, you know? No, not at all. It's an overwhelming sense of God's peace and God's presence. You're just like, now you could resist it. You could fight it. But why do that? Okay? When they came to Jesus and they said, are you the Christ? They're ready to arrest him, and this is the end of his ministry, you know. And he says, when he said, are you the Christ? He says, I am he. The Bible says, now these are his enemies. They all fell backwards. They all fell backwards. Boom, they bit the dust. They fell backwards. Amen? You want to hear a funny story? It's a true story, but a funny story. This is back in the 70s when they had shag carpet. Do you remember the shag carpet? Anybody remember that? My parents got these in their bedroom. I remember this is maybe 75, 76, you know. And back, you know, like the Brady Bunch era, you know. And the shag carpet was like, they got this gold, yellowish, ugliest looking carpet I have ever seen in my life. And there was patches. They would put little square patches they would put in their bedroom, all right? And they thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's like this shag carpet. I'm like, it is the ugliest looking carpet. Well, during that time, churches started putting shag carpet in their up front where they're, you know, when they ministered, like we have up here, you know what I'm saying? And there was a young man that, you know, came up and was prayed for. Instead of falling backwards, he fell into the power. He fell forward. He fell forward. Okay? He's just a young teenager, you know, and he's got braces. Okay? And so he falls down. This is a true story. He fell face down, and he just laid there. He was just moaning and groaning. You know? Now, the pastor thought, God's really touching this young man. He told the ushers, he says, don't pick him up here. Just let him lay there. Just let him lay there. Okay? Well, about 45 minutes later, after he was done preaching, they went over and found out his brace was caught in the carpet. Shag carpet. Can't happen on this carpet. So anyway, is it necessary? Listen, when people are prayed for, is it necessary to fall under the power? No. No. Now, I do not believe in pushing people over. I've seen that happen before, and that is not right. Receive in Jesus' name. I'd fall over too. But I'm telling you, if you're gentle with people and you're just praying with people, and all of a sudden they feel weak-kneed and they want to, you know, and that's, you know, we don't, that doesn't mean that you're a better receiver. You can get healed standing up and not fall at all. I don't encourage people just to look for the spectacular and try to fall. If it happens, it happens. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, people can get, you know, they don't understand this kind of stuff sometimes. But listen, when we fall under the power of God, there's a supernatural element that takes place there. I've had this happen before. Brother Hagin laid hands on me back in 1989, I think it was, where we were ordained under Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Lynn and I. And I'm telling you, he came down. There was not just us, but there was other ministers that were there. And we have our credentials through Rhema and so forth. And so at that point, they were ordaining people and laying hands on people, separating them. And, you know, Brother Hagin has a strong, powerful anointing. And I'm standing up there, Lynn and I are standing up there, and he's coming down just praying, just gently praying for people. He's not being nothing wild, nothing crazy, just praying, just talking, you know, talking to the Lord. But he was about 15 feet away. And I'm telling you, my knees started trembling. I could feel something. I thought, what in the world is this? But it felt great. You know, I felt the presence of God. And then it just felt heavy, like something was pressing down on me. And I found out later that the word glory means heavy. Amen. And I'm telling you, when he came up where we were, he used his finger, just touched me right there. It was like, whew. I went back and I laid on that floor and I felt the peace of God so strong. Now listen, I could have fought that. I could have stood there and said, no, I'm not going to fall. That's kind of dumb. But you know what? God did something. There was an impartation that took place there. There was an impartation that took place there. And when Jesus showed up there, he says, are you the Messiah? He says, I am he. It says they all fell backwards. I mean, they just bit the dust, every single one of them. Amen? So why does that happen sometimes? Because when the power of God comes in, when the supernatural comes in contact with the natural, something is going to give. But you don't have to fall to receive anything from God. You don't have to. One lady, you know, in line, she saw everybody falling under the pile, so she said, I'll just beat them to it. She got on the floor and laid down. She didn't know. But there's a place to learn these things, right? Praise God. All right, moving along here. Seeing, today we're talking about seeing yourself as God sees you. That is very important. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I want you to see something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. My goodness. This is probably one of my favorite subjects to teach on because I know what it did to me and continues to do for me. There are so many years that I did not see myself through God's eyes. I had a poor self-esteem, a poor self-image. Amen? And let's be honest, most of us are not born with a good, healthy self-esteem. For the most part, we're not. There's deficiencies, okay? Even if you were raised in a Christian home, there were certain deficiencies. You see, if your parents don't know any better, even if they're believers, how can they pass on something to you? If there's certain truths that they're not walking in, it's impossible. Such as I have, give I thee. They can't pass it on. But hallelujah, we're growing and we're learning, amen? Thank God for our kids that are being raised in church like this where they can learn these things at a young age. It took me 30 years to learn some things. They can learn in a couple of years. Amen. But notice here in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There's liberty. Not bondage, liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Josh, can you bring up the Amplified in that same translation right there? And I want to show you something here. This is really, really amazing right here. Here's the Amplified. It says, but all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to uphold the Word of God, as, notice this, in a mirror, say mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very image. We'll stop right there. Now, what is our point today? We're talking about seeing yourself as God sees you. Very, very important. It's not so much what others are saying about you. That's not what's really important. Don't put all your credence and your stock in what other people say. True. Amen?
Yeah.
Listen, I've had people come up to me through the year, and you pastor this many years. I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor, that was the best sermon I ever heard in my life. Man, I'm telling you, it set me free. Well, the next Sunday comes, I don't see them. Two Sundays come, I don't see them. A month goes by, I don't see them. Well, wait a minute, they said to you, Brother Keith, that was the best message they heard. So if I put my value and my worth in what they said or didn't say or showed up or didn't show up, then I'm in a heap of trouble. Right? So my credence, my self-esteem has to come from God, not from what other people are saying. Amen. You see, we cannot be moved by the cheers or the jeers. We have to be moved by what God says, by what God's Word says. Are you with me now? Now, the Word of God says that His Word is a what? It's like a mirror, okay? How many of y'all looked in the mirror this morning before you came here? All right. Just a couple of you did. That's why your hair is all messed up, those that didn't raise. Okay? No, seriously, how many of you look in, you don't even think about it anymore. Every day, you're looking in the mirror, right? You want to make sure everything's cool, right? You're going somewhere, you know. Are you with me now? It's second nature. You don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. The mirror, the natural mirror, tells you what you look like physically. Okay? We know that. Well, the Bible is likened unto a mirror, but it's not a natural mirror. It's a spiritual mirror. It's called the perfect law of liberty. Now, if you're going to see yourself as God sees you, you have to see yourself through the Bible's eyes. You have to. I was in a particular restaurant one time. In fact, it was Max and Irma's one time, this over in where I live, you know. And I walked in there and went to use the restroom. I'm walking down this little hallway, you know. And at the end of the hallway, they had these funny mirrors that are distorted. And I didn't know it was there because it was my first time in there. And I'm walking down, I'm like, whoa, look at that, you know. And I looked like I was about 9 foot tall in this mirror. There was another mirror. I stepped over to that mirror, and I was about 9 foot wide. Now, wouldn't it be crazy if I looked at that mirror and I said, oh, my God, is that the way I look? Are y'all with me now? No, everybody, they know that, people know that's fake. They stand in front, they say, look at that, you know, and so forth and so on. Everybody knows that's a distorted image of the way that you look, and you know that. You know that. So you laugh about it. But what if somebody really believed that, and they stood in front of that mirror and said, oh, my God, I got to see a psychiatrist. Hope he has a big couch. Are you with me now? Because you know in the natural, that's not true. That's not a true image of you. But yet, in the natural, in the spiritual realm, people believe false images all the time. What other people say about them. See, we need to be delivered from what people say about us. Now, I'm not saying try to purposely be belligerent and hurt people. No, we're not into that. But we cannot be so moved about other people's opinion of the way they see us because their opinion might be totally distorted. How many of you ever had somebody else's opinion really distorted about the way that you really are? Oh, yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? But we're not to be moved by that. We're not to be moved by that. The Word of God is a true spiritual mirror, and it tells us, here's what you look like. And I'm going to show you in the closing moments here, how do you do that? How do you see yourself as God sees you? Now, again, the Word of God is a spiritual mirror, and it doesn't tell you if there's a hair out of place or something. You know, the Word of God is a spiritual mirror, and it's vitally important that you see yourself the way God sees you. Amen. Vitally important. Amen?
That's good.
Remember, years ago, I remember I was invited to preach in a church in Apollo, Pennsylvania. And a pastor friend of mine, back in those days, we had Saturday night services, so I had Sunday morning off, you know. And so pastor friend of mine, he was going on vacation. He asked me if I would consider coming and taking the Sunday meeting for him. This is before we had any kids. We were pretty much newly married. And we went over and ministered in this church in Apollo, Pennsylvania. I believe the church is still there to this day. And so Lynn and I went over there and shared the Word of God. Just a really nice time. I love to have the opportunity once in a while as the Lord opens the doors to minister to other people. Amen. It's just so refreshing. Praise God. I love home, our home base here, but I'll tell you, I love to preach anywhere the door opens. Amen. Glory to anybody. So we're preaching the Word of God, and I felt led in my heart to pray for people that whatever needs that they might have after the service. And so there was, from what I remember, 15 or so people that came up, and you know, and a lot of the people seemed really heavily oppressed. You could just feel there was an oppression there, you know. Well, there was one girl in particular that was in that line, and she had a baseball hat on, and it was a one of these homemade deals where they write something on the cross of it, you know. And it was in capital letters, in bold font letters, the word dummy. It was a green hat, ugliest thing I've ever seen. And she looked to me like she was about 23, 24 years old, just a young lady. And I'm praying for people, and I look up, and I see dummy. I see this, she's wearing this baseball hat, and I see the word dummy written across in bold letters across her hat. Well, I'll tell you what, when I got to her, something rose up on the inside of me. It was the Lord. It was a righteous anger. And I prayed for her, and I said, ma'am, I said, when the service is over this morning, I said, I want you to come up here, and I want you to talk to me, okay? And I knew, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew God wanted to minister to her, okay? And so we got done, you know, and dismissed, and she came up after the service, right when the service was over, and immediately she came up to me, and I looked at her, and I said, ma'am, I said, take that hat off right now. See, we're talking about images, seeing yourself as God sees you. Okay? Now, this is a real dramatic situation where somebody literally wore something physically, you know? But there's other people that wear hats. They're just mental hats. They wear them all the time. They just don't know it. But she had a physical hat on, and I said, ma'am? And I just felt fire inside me. I said, why did you wear this hat? She goes, well, and she was really oppressed, really insecure, really inferior. I mean, beyond, above and beyond. Well, she's wearing this hat that says dummy. I said, where did you get this hat? She goes, well, it's kind of like this. When I was born, I was younger, my parents gave nicknames to all their kids, and they called me dummy. You know? And I said, this is what I remember. I said, you take that hat and you destroy that hat. Don't you ever wear that hat again. And I shared for a few minutes with her. I said, this is not who... See, people joke about that kind of stuff, you know? You should never nickname someone that's a degrading name. I'm not going to tell you, but I got nicknames for my dog, my cat, my wife, the kids. I got nicknames for them. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but they're n- but they're not. It'll be $1,000, I'll tell you. It's just, you know, whatever. It's leaking out, I know it. But anyway, but it, you know, there's nothing wrong with nicknames and stuff like that, but it should never, ever be a degrading type name like stupid or dummy or idiot or brainless or, you know what I'm trying to say. But there are people that do that all the time. Check and see, what are you calling somebody as a nickname? Is it an edifying name? Is it a building up name? Aren't you glad God doesn't call you stupid or dummy? And I still feel fire in my chest over this thing. I'm telling you, because here's a label that was slapped on this girl at a young age, you know, someone that Jesus died for. She was a believer, but she was mentally beat down, depressed, walking around with her head down like that. No hope for her future. Why? She saw herself as a dummy, and she wore that ball cap. I'm telling you what, I wanted to get her parents, take them out in the country, tie them up to a tree, and pray for them all night long. What parent in their right mind would do that to their kid? Boom, boom. Are you with me now? Now, that's a dramatic example of someone that outwardly would wear a hat like that, okay? Now, most people don't wear the hat, but mentally they do. Because of words that have been slapped on people. Say, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to amount to anything. You're a mistake. That's a big one. You're a mistake. Okay, I could go on and on here, I'm telling you. But see, these are wrong images that have been passed through the devil, through people, that have been labeled on people to make them think degrading things about themselves. That's why we need to switch the mirror and quit looking in the natural mirror. We need to look into the Word of God mirror and say, this is who I am. This is who I This is what I have. This is what I can do. Amen. Amen. Now, in real quick time here. I've got a couple minutes. You're going to find this phrase in the New Testament, especially in the epistles. Here it is. In Christ, in Him, by Him, through Him, in Christ Jesus. Just bring up 2 Corinthians 5:17, Josh, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I want to show you this phrase right here because these are the prepositions, if you will. Notice it says, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ. See the words in Christ? That's a preposition. In, you're in Christ. Just like a baby inside of a mother. You're in Christ. And that baby, is that, if it's in that mother, you know, wherever that mother goes, that baby goes. Whatever that mother eats that day, in a broken down form, that baby will eat. If that mother eats in an Italian restaurant, the baby's going to have Italian food that day. Okay? The baby has no choice because the baby is in the mother. And so wherever the mother goes, there goes the baby. You and I are in Christ Jesus. And whatever He has, we have. Whatever He does, we can do. Because we are no longer in ourselves. We are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be what? In Christ. He is a new creature. And that the Greek says a new species of being. When this is the very first scripture I got a hold of this, and I thought, this is my scripture. I see myself in this scripture right here. I'm in there. That's me right there. That's my mirror. I look, I said, I, Keith. I wrote my name in there, K-E-I-T-H. Amen? Most people spell K-I-E-T-H. They spell it the wrong way. But it's K-E-I-T-H. And I said, this is me, Keith. And I wrote it in my first Bible. I wrote it across this scripture right here. And I looked at that scripture, and no longer is He talking to the Jews. No longer is He talking to the guy down the street. He's talking to me. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Look at 21, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Notice this. In Him. In Christ, in Him, by Christ. Preposition. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. You have right standing with God. You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Now, the religious folks will get mad at you about that. Who does he think he is? Well, I don't think I'm anything other than what God says about me. See, religious people get mad. They'll look down their nose and say, who does he think or she think he is? You know, but this is who we are in Christ Jesus. And if God says that about me, that's the truth. Sorry. I am in Christ. I'm a new creature. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, I may not feel like it. There may not be a goosebump attached to that. There may or may not be, but I'm in Christ. I am in Christ. I'm a new creature. And I say this all the time. I mean, daily. I say, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, I've been saved since 1976. And I started walking in this stuff in the early 80s. And what was good back then is good for now. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's the way it is. Look at Philippians 4:13 real quick here. I can do all things what? Well, there's the preposition. Through Christ, in Christ, by Christ, which strengthens me. Is that awesome or what? I can do all things. Pastor, I just feel so weak. I don't know if I can do that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then the last one here, this is just, now there's a whole bunch of them here. We just don't have time. But as you read through the New Testament, particularly in the epistles, that's the letters written to the church, you find these phrases in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. In fact, what I'm going to do next week, I'm going to print out a handout for all here that would like to take one for free. And I'll have it available after the service next week or before the service, whatever you prefer. And it'll be on that table as you walk in here. And it'll be the scriptures all through the New Testament about who you are in Christ Jesus. You can take those scriptures, take them home, meditate on them, think about them, speak them out loud, and it will literally change your life. Now, the last scripture is 1 John 4:4. Actually, 1 John 4:1. This is our last scripture. Uh, He says, John the Apostle says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that is already that it should come, and even now is already in the world." Now we know that there is an Antichrist, a person that will probably alive on the earth today. But he can't manifest fully because of the church that are here. We have authority and we have dominion over him. Once the church is removed out of here through the rapture of the church, that's going to be his time to really manifest. Are you with me? But he says, even now, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world today. Anti, what's against? Anti-anointing. Amen? And there's people that are against anointing. How many of you know that? There's preachers that are against the anointing. They criticize the power of God. They criticize healing. They criticize the move of God. Mm-hmm. Listen, you can't criticize something and have it. Right. Amen? You criticize provision, you're not going to have provision. You criticize prosperity, you're not going to have it. That's just the way it works. You criticize healing, you're not going to have healing. But notice it says in 1 John 4:4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now I want you to see that fourth verse right there. Is this a mirror that we can look into? And I look into 1 John 4:4, it says, "You, me," put your name in there. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. "I am of God, little children, and I have overcome the devil and the wicked evil spirits in this world." Why? "Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Lou Ann, when you look into the spiritual mirror of the Word of God and you look at 1 John 4:4 and you look at that and you say, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world," it may not seem like at first it's doing anything. Because you're saying it, but your mind's like, "I don't feel any different." And it's kind of like this old English sheepdog that we had years ago. When we first got married, Lynn says, she goes, "She had these little pictures." She said, "I want one of those." Okay? And she was showing me puppy pictures. Those little puppies turned into a big dog, you know. He was a big dog. We got one. Went on a farm somewhere out near Indiana, PA. Got this little old English sheepdog. Cutest little thing you ever saw. It was like this big. Listen, guys, it's like that thing just went like this overnight. His paw was as big as my fist, you know? Henry. Yeah, his name was Henry. Yeah. Henry. So here's the deal. As Henry began to grow, we had a screened-in porch where we lived, all right? And we were renting this house from an individual. This is way back in 1982, 83, right around that time. And we were renting this house, and they put new windows in our house, okay, because it needed it. And they kept these storm windows, these screened-in windows, and some glass-plated windows that were there, still there. So here's the deal. We would put the dog out on the patio, this screened-in porch, all right? So to block him from coming in the kitchen, we put this, it was an old storm window, we would put it between the kitchen and the outside, okay, where the screened-in porch was. It was a sunny day like this. And he was just a young dog at this point, you know, it's a puppy. And we heard him growl one day. We're in the living room. It's just a small place, you know. He was growling like was there another dog out there or something? So the funniest thing was we walked out there and we looked out and there's no dog out here. Here he saw himself in the mirror, in the glass, the reflection of himself in the glass. He didn't know that was him. He thought it was another dog. He's you know, started barking. Then I guess he had revelation knowledge. And all of a sudden he realized, that's just me. Okay? I'll never forget that. It was the funniest thing when we saw that. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He goes, that's exactly the way it is. When you look into the mirror of my word and you see it for the first time, you're like, that ain't me. That's someone else. Did you get that? Nah, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not a new creature in Christ. That's to the guy down the street. No, that's talking about you. That's talking about you. Praise God. Seeing yourself in Christ Jesus. I believe we can do that today. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name above every name, above the name of that is the name of Jesus, which is above every name that there is, Lord. I thank you right now for who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't have to pray about that. We don't have to fast and pray for that. It's who we are because of the blood of Jesus. And Lord, today, help us. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Lord, there's been many of perhaps labels that have been placed upon us through other people through the years. It could have been 20, 30 years ago, bad things that were spoken over us. It could have been a teacher. It could have been a parent. It could have been a brother or sister. It could have been a neighbor. That words that were spoken over you that were bad words, evil words. You know, the people say that, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names and words cannot hurt me. That's not true. You can have a word spoken to you many, many years ago that still affects you to this day. Now, in the name of Jesus today, we're going to uproot that. Right now, we're going to uproot that in the name of Jesus. And any word, any curse word, bad word that was spoken over you, something that was said over you that was not true, we take authority. We take dominion over it right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break its power right now. Every bad word that was spoken over you, every non-productive word that was spoken over you, we break its power of influence over you right now in the name of Jesus. There are people that spoke over you and they were in a drunken stoop. They spoke words over you that hurt you, but there was no truth to it. There are people that were high on drugs that spoke words over you that were hurtful words. They were not true. And I break that power in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the peace of God right now, flooding each heart and each mind right now, each soul in this place, in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for the new image, Lord. We welcome that. We receive that in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you receive that? The new you, the new image. Praise the Lord.